This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Today, it's all about jobs, jobs, jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In about a half hour, we'll get the most important economic indicator of the month, the March jobs report from the Labor Department. Expectations are the economy added around 200,000 jobs in March, which would make the last 2 months the best stretch for private sector hiring since the recession began. Tig Gillum is the CEO of Adecco Group North America, and he's with us now from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, your company helps other companies find temporary workers. Those workers are often seen as an early indicator of how much permanent hiring is going to occur. Given that, what are you expecting from this morning's jobs report?
Well, the recovery in terms of temporary workers has been going on now for about 18 months. And as you mentioned, that's a leading indicator to the recovery in the job market overall. So we've been on a positive trend and expect March's numbers to continue to demonstrate that the job market is getting better.
Do you think that we're going to see any of the turmoil that's going on in the Middle East or Japan or the oil markets figure into this morning's number in a negative way?
I think at least from the Adecco Group business, the impact of Japan is beginning to become visible, where we see supply chain disruptions related to the automotive industry. That's affecting jobs in the U.S. on a negative basis. But then at the same time, on the technology side, especially related to chips, the business has picked up in the U.S. to replace product supply disruptions in Japan. So there is an effect. It'll be interesting to see whether the net positive outweighs the negative in March.
But you're saying it's already being felt.
That's already being felt. As opposed to the oil situation and the cost of gasoline, I think there hasn't been that much of a direct effect yet on the labor market in the U.S.
All right. What about people who've been out of work for a long time, in some cases for years since the recession began? Any sense of whether those people are starting to return to the labor market?
There are 13.7 million people who are unemployed today, and half of those have been out of the job market for 27 weeks or more. But like everyone else, they're finding an improving job market where they live, so their opportunities for finding new employment are getting better every month.
Tig Gillum, CEO of Adecco Group North America, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Well, reporters and economists are still digging into the 25,000 pages of Federal Reserve data that was released yesterday, but we're already finding out some interesting news about the deepest moments of the financial crisis, specifically who got how much in emergency loans from the Fed's so-called discount window. All the big U.S. banks are on the list, including the mighty Goldman Sachs, but there are some unusual names there, too, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Mainstream British lenders like the Royal Bank of Scotland joined the line at the Fed's discount window, but so too did some pretty odd cattle. A Belgian bank that specialises in lending to local government in Belgium, they borrowed $33.5 billion. Then there's the Norinchukin Bank, which provides financial services to Japanese fishermen. And perhaps even more exotic, the Arab Banking Corporation, that's part-owned by the Central Bank of Libya. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is with fund managers Seven Investment.
I suspect to every true American, you would have thought that this window is designed to help American banks. It's an old-fashioned concept, but after all, it is your banking system.
The revelations are already causing a storm in the US, but the Federal Reserve points out that these emergency loans were all entirely legal and all were repaid. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up across Europe and Asia this morning. London about 1% higher right now. News this morning that NASDAQ and Intercontinental Exchange have made a joint offer to buy the New York Stock Exchange. The offer is about 19% higher than the one made by the German Stock Exchange. Meanwhile, out with the pizza, in with the donuts. Pizza chain Sbarro may go into bankruptcy protection as early as next week after missing some payments on its debt. And Dunkin' Donuts is reportedly considering going public in the second half of this year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 30 points to close at 12,319.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at Progressive.com. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
France is the latest country to move beyond gross domestic product, or GDP, to measure economic success. And the French are not making the popular switch to measuring well-being and happiness. Instead, the French Office of Economic Analysis has announced plans to systematically measure ennui. Marketplace's David Brancaccio reports.
In addition to new measures of well-being in his country, French President Nicolas Sarkozy said today there must be balance, calling for new, regular government surveys of public levels of ennui, or boredom. Sarkozy said the intention is to, quote, keep France French by ensuring that Anglo-American-style happiness does not get out of hand. Emily Zola is leading the project for the Government Statistics Office.
Ennui correlates with a lack of social engagement. A bored worker is not a productive worker. That said, ennui can drive the creative process and therefore drive innovation.
Researchers have an innovative way to assess ennui in real time by electronically monitoring a random sample of French workers who spend computer time playing what is known as solitaire, a kind of solo card game popular in France. Amid privacy concerns, Google rejected a proposal to monitor French internet searches of the term nihilism. Joanna Keynes at the Bureau of Labor Statistics in Washington says researchers in the U.S. are watching the French project closely.
This is a really key development in the emerging field of idleness studies. Official statistics are very good at tracking economic activity, but economic inactivity is equally important.
A challenge for statisticians, experts say, is finding a way to distinguish between a run-of-the-mill sense of tedium and the more general world weariness so prevalent in France. I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
And with that, enjoy the holiday. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson, on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The healthcare industry is loaded with new jobs, so you better have a really good resume.
Anytime you have more people entering a field, then they just simply up their standards of what they want.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Experience is a must. We'll have today's business news as well next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.